sure is quiet this morning. Everyone's sleeping.
Not everyone. Wait
to come up and tell them it's time to go to school. I'm mumbly this morning, so I didn't grab the mic. Ugh.
Yeah, it's a little sluggish. Got a 9 o'clock meeting. Only a couple miles away, but I should make it. Still in my robe and my coffee cup.
Yeah, you guys are too. I didn't quite know maybe I just is this any better? Yeah, that was a little better. In a bunch of woods here on Coolidge and Long Lake, headed to the office. What are you guys into today? Well, I'm just looking to get the car washed before I head into work. Wally?
All those antennas sticking out the top, when you run it through the car wash, do you take them off or you just let them get beat up? Or do they handle it? I'm just kind of curious, because I'm assuming you're driving your work car because you're heading to work.
No, I got to get off and pull them off, you know, pull them off every time. Unless I switch them out to quarter waves, which I might do if I had a couple.
I know this place, Grossbeck, where you probably could find some.
Problem is, my antennas are, my radios, well, one of them's UHF only, but the other one is tri-band, so... you know, I'm going to have to settle for one band on that. Ben?
Yeah, same here. When I take the car into the car wash, you got to get out, take it off, and afterwards try and remember to put it back on. So, pain in the butt, but it's better than getting it wrapped around a brush or banging against the roof of your car. But yeah, I think I need to get this car washed as well. My kids have been driving it, and it is a... let's just say that their attention to detail and keeping a car clean does not box with my level of attention.
It will be when it's their car. And you guys forget about the feature that these automatic car washes offer. They will take the antennas off for you.
Jack's Car Wash and Troy there would spend 45 minutes trying to figure it out.
I never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, I was referring to the roller.
Yeah, the roller, that's the self-delete option, right?
Yeah, and I don't think there's an upcharge for that either.
Roger that. Work today for me, and then tomorrow morning we are rolling down to South Carolina to take the youngest down for his sophomore year beginning, moving him into his apartment. Can't wait. It's going to be great.
So, Ben, being what they call it, full income, no kids.
Well, I just had one graduate, so he's home, so he was gone, now he's back, so we're getting back down to one, but I got to get the older one needs to find a job, and the younger one needs to improve his grades, so we got that going for us.
Oh, very good. Hope it goes well. Hope your trip goes well. And it'll be a good weekend to travel, I think. It's around here, it's supposed to be kind of a rainy weekend, so I guess if you have to travel in the summer, or at least the late summer, now's the time to do it. John, are you still there?
Yeah, just nothing's going right for me this morning. I'm just about pulled up to the car wash here. I'm going to have to get out and pull my antennas. So I'll be back. W8FU.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm down to South because some of my youngest.
Oh, fine either. I apologize. Ryan, that's very good.
Clemson.
This is Wally,
NAK. So we take 75 down to Chattanooga and then cut through 40 through the Smokies. My wife hates that part because she's not a really good carb rider anyway, and then going through the Twisties in the mountains and then end up coming out on the South Carolina side. So, yeah, it's going to be hot down there, though. It's always hot and steamy, so I'm not looking forward to that at all.
What's Chattanooga, about an 8-hour drive?
Yeah, I think so, 8, 9, something like that. I think the trip all in, if we just limited it to potty stops, then that's about it. About 11 hours and change, so it's not horrible, but it's, mostly driving straight through Ohio, and that's very boring, and Tennessee gets a little bit more exciting as you start getting into some hills, but... the highlight of our trip, though, is the stops at Bucky's for barbecue, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, as you head down there, they have some nice restaurants. I guess it's different from what we're used to, and that's what makes it nice. For a while there, my wife, she worked down in Atlanta. So occasionally, I had to drive down there. It was like a little over 12 hours north of Atlanta, but... there was a lot of cool restaurants, but I guess cool for us is probably different. So it was enjoyable to go to different types of food, different types of restaurants and things like that down there. And they could do a great job with catfish. I love doing catfish down there. Up here, kind of scares me, but down there, it was pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. This one's going to be mostly just getting to move into his apartment. We're trying to, so Clemson's kind of like, I don't want to say it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's there's not a ton around it. It's a very large university, but there's not a lot of Target-type places or Walmart or that sort of thing. So we're trying to buy as much stuff as we can to take down here because he's got a vehicle, and then we'll take my wife's vehicle down, and so we'll have two. We'll be able to take a lot of stuff. Our experience in the prior years is that because there's only one Walmart or one Target, you end up, everything's all picked over, so we're trying to make sure we take everything with us that we need.
Yeah, you would think they'd plan for that, but sometimes you can't. So I kind of got a good success story for my nephew. This kid is starting his junior year in high school this year, and he's already signed with Northwestern University as a starter for their football team. So, and he thinks he's going to play high school football this year. I said, dude, they ain't going to let you on the field. They don't want you hurt, and they don't want you hurting any of the other players. So he seems to think that they're going to play him. But they recruited him this summer, and he signed with them. Starting as a junior in high school this year. So the kid, he's really smart and he's really big. So hopefully he makes something out of himself doing this.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Northwestern's a fantastic school, and it's that actually was one on my son's short list to get into. Both of mine are engineering. Getting into getting a scholarship is fantastic. So congrats on that. My family is not that size, so we'll never have any D1 athletes on our side. So we have to do it the hard way, I guess.
Well, same with us. So, I mean, I'm only 5'10". His dad's only 5'10". I mean, I'll bet you his mom is only 5'6", 5'4", somewhere in that, 5'5", somewhere in that area. And where this kid got all his size from is just amazing. I don't know. I like football, you know what I'm saying, but I don't know the positions of all the different players. But I know his position is the one that goes and tackles the quarterback. So, and I know that when he's played already at Lions, you know, because their high school team made it to the Ford Field. So, you know, so they've got a pretty good team, and I think that's where they found him there. But everybody was after this kid. I mean, it was like some small school on the west side of the state, and like Nebraska would just show up. I mean, all of these schools, you know, it's kind of funny. They would just show up. Oh, we happen to be in town, you know. He did try for Michigan. I don't want to say that. Michigan did try for him. It's probably a better way, but he's pretty smart. He asked Michigan where he was on the depth chart, and they kind of took offense that he asked, and he kind of took offense that they wouldn't tell him, you know, because he wanted to make sure he was not just getting, I guess the right word to use is bought up, you know, bought up just so another team couldn't have him. And Northwest promised him starter, so good for him.
Yeah, no, that's great. And that situation tends to happen a lot with the bigger programs. I know Ohio State does it, Alabama does it, they all do it. So so good for him finding a spot. What high school did he go to, if you don't mind me asking?
Believe it or not, it's a small school called Lawton High School. It's 20 miles west of Kalamazoo and a little bit southwest. Basically, you go to Papa and you head south, and it's the next town south. When I went to school, they called them ABCDs. Now there's 1 through 8, and this is a class 7 school, believe it or not, and they found him there.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, he must be a good catch. So that's good. I love hearing these stories. It's good to live vicariously through other people.
No, we're pretty proud of him. And like I said, and I didn't know much about this recruiting business or how the game was played or anything else like that. And this young man is, I think he just turned 16. And he had all of this stuff all figured out, you know, when he went to the interviews. And he didn't want his mom and dad in there, but apparently because of his age, they had to be there. So, he's pretty sharp. I got to give him credit for all of that stuff, you know. I mean, heck, I wouldn't have thought of those comments at this age, you know. I would have been so proud, you know, like, oh my gosh, look, Michigan, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't have thought of asking questions like, okay, you know, are you buying me? Because, you know, whoever thinks things like that happen, you know, even at my age, I guess I look kind of like at the positive side of things. But, you know, he knew right away what they were doing. And it sounds to me like you knew it because you had said you had heard Ohio State and Alabama, you know, possibly doing the same thing. So, you know, some of these bigger schools doing the same things. And I guess I could understand that. You don't want anybody that's going to be able to go and, you know, chase your quarterback down or go ahead and out throw the ball or whatever position it is that that person that you have.
Yeah, when you have the big programs, it's they can't really make commitments on starting. So that's what, you know, if you got that kind of commitment from Northwestern, that's fantastic. But, you know, it's super competitive. I mean, you know, you've got tons of guys out there that are all vying for the same thing. So you don't want to have a guy come in and try and dictate how it's going to go unless he's a super stud. So it sounds like he got really lucky. I would just encourage, and I'm sure if you talk to people, it's a different day and age now with NIL and all the money that's out there, at least legit. Out there, but I would encourage him to, if he's that good and has that bright of a future, make sure he gets an insurance policy in case something happens. He gets hurt in high school or in college, and he's unable to continue on. Most kids that are good that have a good future ahead of them, that's what 100% have to do that.
You know, I thought about that. Maybe I'll talk to my brother and say something to him about that. You know, like maybe they should, you know, get a lawyer or get some sort of professional that knows, you know. I know you got careful crossing that line between professional and amateur, but, you know, just like little comments like that, you know, I don't know if they hold weight or not, but they're definitely important, you know. I mean, it is something that needs to be asked. Because we went there to watch and play games in the past, and the other coaches have actually walked across the field and asked the, you know, his team not to play him. You know, because he says, my guys will just cower, and he says, and you're going to beat us anyways. Because we've been to games where we've actually just had to stand on the sidelines.
Yikes. Yeah, well, that's interesting. But, yeah, I mean, in today's day and age, you never know what's going to happen, and all it does is take one ACL or, you know, anything to end a very promising career. So it's worthwhile to investigate the insurance. You know, he can talk to insurance agents and lawyers. You just can't, you know, start dealing with professional agents. That's where the line, I think, is crossed. But anywho, I'm pulling up to the office here, so I'm going to cut out. It was great chatting with you. My name's Ben, Whiskey A Golf India Oscar. Live in Rochester, but working in Beverly Hills. And now it's time to go make the donuts. So we'll catch you later. Sean, I don't know if you're back on, but we'll catch you as well. WAIO clear on your final.
Yep. Take care.
Take care, Ben. Get all your antennas screwed back on.
I hope so.
Yeah, I did.
I was just checking it out. First thing I'm going to do when I get in is I'm going to see if I can switch the UHF one to a quarter wave, and then I think I've got a stealthier multibander. The other radio has to do 800 predominantly, but I also use it for GMRS sometimes, that tri-band radio. So, I don't know. I'll see if I can put something a little less obnoxious up there.
What's the other two bands, if you don't mind me asking?
VHF, UHF, and 800.
You know that antenna I told you I bought from the Big M and put on my work car? So it's got like a spring-loaded coil on it and on the bottom. Just a little stick. It looks like a quarter wave with a spring on it. It's fairly heavy compared to most ones. I ran a sweep on it the other day with my little Chinese DNA meter, and you should see the sweep on it for us. It's unbelievably beautiful. I mean, it's like at the 147, it's almost 1-to-1, and then it creeps up a little bit to about 1.5, 1.6, and then it comes right back down at like 462. It is like the perfect antenna for UHF, for, you know, somebody that's using a radio that does both PM and GMRS.
You said 147. Do you mean 447?
Yeah, I'm getting old.
All right, there you go. Yeah, no, it's a quarter wave is great. They're broad, and they'll give you a lot of, you know, they're tough to beat, really, unless you really need the gain. I don't put a gain antenna on my vehicle unless I'm going to be traveling outside of the area, and then I just, I just select the infrastructure that suits the antenna that I'm running, instead of trying to stretch out, you know, the infrastructure beyond its capabilities. So, anyhow, quarter waves are great for this, in and around this area, but when you're on the road, you know, traveling, I could see putting something significantly bigger on the vehicle.
Yeah, well, the quarter wave performed just as well around here, but, you know, again, we like to tinker, we like to see, and the thing was only $50. So, in the scheme of things, for the amount of money that we blow on things just to learn, I thought it was kind of a good learning and experience. So, I enjoy it, and what really impresses me is, by today's standards, for an antenna, how well it's built. You know, I mean, heavy, like the wire gauge is probably double what you see on most antennas. So, granted, it's only, 8 inches high or whatever the freaking quarter wave is, but I was kind of impressed how beefy it was. Because nowadays, everybody, you know, if they could get away with, you know, 32-gauge wire, they would use it.
Nice to have a nice, I'll have to see that one you got, because I don't know of many that have the spring-loaded pin. You say it's an actual Motorola part? Because, you know, we've got certain ones that are all Motorola that we get. We've got hundreds of them, but they're all 800, right? So I don't have any that, I don't anymore have UHF laying around like I used to. It used to be just, you know, all UHF housing. Man, we had all sorts of UHF stuff. That was the good old days. Nowadays, it's all 800.
Yeah, I understand that. No, this is just directly UHF. It doesn't do anything else, so I'm sure it's a business antenna. But and they had two different versions of it, and probably have to go to your expertise on this. One, it squishes the signal horizontal, and the other one, it squishes the signal vertical. And the vertical, they said, was designed for cities, and the horizontal one was designed for, you know, more rural areas. So I went with the horizontal squishy pattern, and just to see it. I'll send you a picture of it. I might have the box around here or something. I'll send you the model number, too. Or hell, I'll save you the $50 if you want to play with it. I'll just screw my quarter wave back on.
No, I just want to check it out. I don't need to jack with it or anything.
Really weird. I don't have much of a signal today, and I don't know why. Nothing's changed. Because maybe it's that fancy new word that I learned, propagation.
Could be. Anyhow, I just pulled up at work, Wally. I got to get inside because I went and washed the car. I'm behind the schedule here. So I will catch you in a bit. W8FU.
I'll just tell the boys it got dirty in company time. N-8-K-B-B. I might be able to help you for a quick one. I got to get out of here too, but I think Sean's walking into the office. Any excuses?
Just a quick question. Where is this repeater located? Because I'm up in Alma right now and still can hear and talk to my mobile.
What frequency are you on? 442 dot what?
625? 525.
I have to look that one up. Give me a minute while Sean knows.
Thanks. I have it saved in my radio as on scan list as Lansing, but I'm up here in Alma right now. It seems unusual to have this clear of a signal on a 70-centimeter repeater.
I'll be right back.
Sounds good. KD8 RMQ mobile.
say 525?
That's correct. 442525.
I'm not sure where that one is. I'll ask. I know the mothership is in Warren. It's 442600. I know the one in Richmond is 442625. And I was trying to find where Romeo is. I know there's one in Romeo, but I can't see that on the chart. I'm UHF or VHF?
UHF, 442.
442525. I got the sys operator on my phone, and he's not sure where you're at. You should be on 444575. That's what the frequency you're coming in on. We see you on the dashboard now. In Danville. The repeater's call sign that your R hitting is NAOBU. And you're on node 620721. NHKPD.
KPP Mobile.
Okay, what's coming for me? You're responding to me. Try again.
Signal seems to be pretty good. Your modulation seems to be pretty low.
Thank you for the information. I'm on a handheld.
Very good. Who is this?
Yeah, my name is Troy. W-A-T-C-C.
Very good. Yeah, you got a modulation problem there of some sort. You're either not on a little hole in the microphone or your radio's sick or something's going on. But the signal seems to be pretty steady. So, where are you located?
Landing near the airport on a handheld. Over.
Well, that's pretty good. So, congratulations on that, but I'm not sure what repeater you're on, but you're working well.
Thanks for the information. I'll be clear and listening. Thank you. W-A-T-C-C clear.
Very good, W-A-T-C-C and H-K-P-P. Have a good day. And let's hope we stay not as wet as they're predicting these next couple days.
Thank you.
NAKPP, EF8VXS calling.
Go ahead, sir.
You don't have to call me, sir. I'm just a, where is it now? A sad, happy, slap, you know, happy, slappy, sad hand or something like that. That's my new nickname. You don't have to call me, sir.
Oh, there you go. Okay. How you doing, Dan? I talked to Sean a little bit ago. He said I thought he said he was going to try to connect with you a little bit.
Yeah, I've been in, on and off the air throughout the day. I'm still trying to get myself out of the doghouse with a significant other because she got ignored over the weekend. And I'm in the process of getting a sanity call sign. I'm waiting to hear back on that. And just send the money.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to wait till I get my extra. I took the general test Tuesday morning and passed it.
I was not aware that you were even looking to take your general right away. I may look into it after Labor Day to give me something to do over the winter. As far as extending what I'm going to do with it, I don't know. We'll see what I'm going to be doing over the winter months to keep myself out of trouble, which I've not been doing too good lately. Other than that, though, so how's this Wilkes-Off sounding for a quick radio check?
Not too bad, sir. Not too bad. Kind of impressed with it, actually. I'm glad you're able to get that going. So, I've been playing around with, the the digital part of things, I'm kind of fond of that, DMR, and telling Sean earlier, I found a there's another digital repeater that was in Pontiac that was always kind of weak and lame. And I had it in my scan group, and then all of a sudden, boom, it came in like, and over here in New Baltimore, it came in like five bars. Well, apparently they had it fixed by some guy that he's kind of got a job similar to what Sean does, and he's also in their radio club, and so I programmed that in, and so if you get a chance, you know, especially with what you've got for equipment, you know, start playing around in the DMR stuff a little bit, too. That's kind of fun.
Well, that was my purpose. That was my next step, is to load the motos with 440 and the DMR, whatever the MI8 number is to that. MI5, I think, is the 440 band or whatever. So anyways, I know they're both four bands. And or 440 bands, and you know, but I mean, the reason why I got this little putt-putt radio is because I have a few people from the Troy side of things back when I first started that are ham operators now, but they talk a lot of tune meter, and this radio, I got it on sale. I mean, I got it for like, oh gosh, probably close to $60 off MSRP, and that includes the Nagoya antenna that's on it.
No, there's nothing wrong with 2 meters. It actually travels better, penetrates walls better. It's got all sorts of things that are better. So, but you know, like for a little bit shorter distances and things of that, the way I look at it is this 440, 450, 460 stuff, that was the old stomping grounds for all the police and the fire departments. It used to be, and businesses, it used to be all 2 meters, okay, or, you know, for 155s, 160, you know, all that stuff. And then they went up to the 400s, and now they migrated all those guys up to the 800 stuff, and so there's a lot of frequency space down here. But, yeah, VHF is fun. I mean, there's a lot. That used to be, I don't know what it is like anymore, but on the west side of the state, that was the powerhouse. The 147.04, 147.200, I mean, they could just put an antenna up with a little bit of height and the coverage would just be amazing. So, but yeah, I don't know what VHF is like around here. I should do it. God knows I got enough of them. You know, I've got, I can't remember what I got, the Anytone. I have that, and so I should play around with that. And I know a lot of the fusion stuff, there's a real strong fusion presence around here, and I don't care for the sound quality of the fusion. I like the people, I just don't care for the sound quality of the fusion, and that's all VHF too.
I appreciate the history lesson there, but I'm old enough to live in the that history lesson back in the 70s where those frequencies were. And Mike, the assistant to the administrator of the Troy repeater, he lives out in Clarkston, and he cannot get to me until he's at a certain point. But we talked 2 meters the other morning when he came in on the Pontiac 2 meter system. I can't remember the call sign off the top of my head. But I can't remember my own call sign. But the fact of the matter is this, is that we have much better coverage on 2 meter, and he is one of several other people that I know that are on 2 meter. So that's the only reason why I got this Wooks on, Wooks off for that purpose.
No, it's great stuff. It's great frequency. It's great everything. So as a matter of fact, the old days, too, you probably remember this. They made them. All of our radios and all, you know, because I played volunteer firemen for a while, all of our stuff used to be all wideband, 25 kilohertz spacing, and then they made it go to the narrow spacing, you know, the 12.5 spacing. They took some sound quality away, and then all of a sudden everybody started vacating all the frequencies anyway. So, I mean, technology kind of fixed it. You know, but I think what they were trying to do, my best guess, and maybe Sean can correct me, is they were trying to cram more channels down there.
Yeah, copy that. I think I was probably about 15 or 16 when I bought my first crystal-controlled scanner. And when I was living in Macomb County and in St. Clair Shores, I had just about everything in Macomb County programmed into my scanner. So frequencies and numbers and things like that, I pretty much remember pretty well and how things have evolved. I get it. It's a new toy. It's a new hobby. And I'm already in the process of changing my call sign so I don't get confused with Dave. And I've already had a conversation with Dave about it, and he's been very helpful in helping me get the application in, which went in yesterday. Actually, it went in last night, and I got feedback from them this morning, and they're going to process it, and then it's just a matter of me, running up my credit card some more.
There you go. I know I'd overheard one conversation. You were trying to get something close to RCY. Is that possible for you?
KFA, BXS for identification. Yeah, I'm looking at, actually Dave is the one who suggested it, W8RCY. That way you can correlate the two a little bit easier that I'm one and the same person. So that was the reason. I was actually going to go W8 with my initials or W8DBK with my nickname. But, I figured, we'll do this and what the heck. See if it goes through. I mean, I know it's available. Like I said, all the application went in and went through. I'm just a matter of waiting for the next step.
Yeah, I'm going to wait till I get my, what's the next one, extra. I'm going to wait till I get that, and then I'll get some sort of entity call sign. But that level there's a whole bunch of stuff I don't understand. And the reason I don't understand is because I have zero experience with antennas. I have zero experience with HF. I have, and a lot of this stuff is like they're kind of assuming you have some experience with this stuff. I mean, so antennas, dipoles, and center fanning, bombs, and all this other stuff that's, I mean, I understand what it's doing when I read up on it, but yet, I've never had one in my hand or never physically did one, so I might be doing some visiting of those POTAs to go see what's going on and at least get a grasp of what some of this stuff is.
Yeah, I can understand exactly where you're coming from, because antennas for me, I don't even really know what I want or what I'm looking for. I mean, I am looking for a vehicle right now, too, and used to be a company decades ago known as an antenna specialist, and they were like a commercial brand. And there's another one out that's now I think it's called Mark Mobile or Mobile Mark. They do a lot of commercial antennas as well. For public service type stuff. And if you're going to put an antenna on your vehicle, Nagoyas are fine, but if you really want good sound quality, I just prefer commercial stuff, and that's part of the reason why, I have the Motorola that I have, and you have as well.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. You probably have to refer to somebody smarter than us to find out if somebody makes a dual band commercial, VHF, UHF radio. The one I got on right now, it is a Motorola. I got it from Motorola store in Illinois. It's a Motorola UHF antenna, and they've got a tool out there. This is, of course, it's a Chinese copy, but it sweeps the antenna. And the SWR is near 1:1 right here, at the 447 mark, and it's also 1:1 right at 167 mark. So you can take a look, and it does a sweep. So it does that nice sweep, which I like. They say you can go up to 2:0 or something. I don't buy it, but whatever. That's what they say. But Sean, he just says a quarter wave is fine for around here. So. And a quarter wave is nice and clean, and then you don't have all those loading coils, and, for most car washes, you don't even have to get out of your car.
When I first started in GMRS back in 78, I had a quarter wave similar to what Sean has on one of his vehicles right now. And that was I think a 3/8 hole now, and now they're running what NMOs, and NMOs are what 3/4 of an inch. So that's a solid mount for sure if you're gonna drill a hole through the roof. But so I mean, I'm still working on baby steps. Like I said, I got to make an investment into a vehicle. I'm gonna buy something used, and so on and so forth. But hope I can drill a hole or two. 3, 4, 5, 6, I don't know, making my roof look like Swiss cheese. But, yeah, I had a quarter wave in my 76 Camaro and back in the day, and that was just my scanner antenna when I had that scanner in my car. So, all right, well, I heard you out there, so I just thought I'd say a quick hello and let you get on the rest of your day, and we'll catch up with you later or maybe Saturday at breakfast.
Yeah, very good. Pleasure talking to you, as always. And like I said, if you need any help with any of the local DMR stuff, I've got that figured out. I can give you all the talk groups, and I can give you all the things. Go to the MI5 website and sign up for their group. It's a Google group, and basically all it is you get emails. So they'll tell you, like, okay, do not use Talk Group 2 this weekend, or do not use, you know, Time Slot 2, or do not use, you know, Talk Group 5-2 or something of that nature, you know, Sheriff's Department exercise or something like that. So, and the guys that run it are really cool, but, you know, you look at your emails like everybody else does, and if they got any reason for you not to be there, they'll tell you. So, because it's set up for emergencies, and it's quite the system. So, we'll talk to you later. N8KPP.
Okay. Well, as always, pleasure talking to you as well, and I thank you for your time. I have read up on the other sections of the network, the whole overall network. I'm even looking at camera stuff, you know, just to get better educated on what this whole WHCMN thing is all about, and go it from there. All right, catch up with you later. BF8, BXS, we're clear.
Some activity. KHEVK listening.
KF8HE monitoring.
This is KHEVK. QRSET, I thought somebody said monitoring. KHEVK.
KE8RUH mobile.
QRZ, Kilo 8 Golf, Victor Kilo.
WHDX still kind of broken, but I think I might be able to make something out.
Yeah, Glenn, give me another few miles here.
So good, full of chores. I'm happy to report. I got a lot of stuff done. I feel like I accomplished a lot of it.
Yeah, just driving home from downtown. It's kind of interesting. I could read you all the way in Hamtramck, but I don't think you could read me. Plus, I'm down here on the freeway, so kind of got the terrain getting in the way. But yeah. Pretty cool it can go that far.
Yeah, obviously proximity to the repeater makes a huge difference. I'm only on a little 5-watt handicap in my living room, but I'm, you know, only a couple miles from the repeater. You know, even though you're on, if you're in your truck on that 50-watt AC, you know, you're still 22 miles and blocks or so from the repeater. It should get through, but,
yeah, it's it's still too far away to get that repeater. I think it's a terrain thing, you know. But hey, I sent you a model for an HT cup holder in a car. I basically drew it up in AutoCAD and then converted it to a JT file. So if you get a chance, take a look at that. See if you can print that.
Yeah, I'll certainly do that. So, I need the 3D, or not the 3D, but the, what is it called? Hold on a second. STL, stereo lithography. That's the format I needed. You sent me one before, but you said it was the wrong one. Can you get me an STL?
Yeah, I think I can export that. Let me take a look at that. And the way that I set that up is it's basically designed to fit in the cup holder, and then you there's a pocket in there, and you use that liquid silicone. So you would tape off the HT radio, set it in the pocket, and then pour the liquid silicone around it to make the retaining feature to hold the radio in the cup. So, yeah, it's something I'm trying. It's just I kind of pulled it out of my behind, but I think it'll work. So, yeah, so STL file. I think I can export that. I'll take a look later tomorrow, see if I can do that.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'd be happy to print it. You want to send? Can you send me rather quickly, like a screenshot of what it looks like, just so I can make sure that you know something's going to fit for my printer. I mean, I know it'll fit, but I mean, I just got to think about voice and things like that.
Yeah, I'll do that when I get home. I'm scavenging parts here for the Corvette, so I'm picking up a battery right now, and then. I should be home after that. I'll pop open the computer and I'll send it to you.
Excellent. Sounds good.
All right, well, I'll let you go. I just wanted to reach out and try this radio out. It seems like it's working better as I get closer to that repeater. So, I'll clear. This is KF8ATE. Clear on your final. Talk to you soon.
All right, have a great day, Carrie. Stay safe out there, W8HDX, please.
NAPPP.
S-8-DXS, W-8-E-A-P.
Finger, W-8-E-A-P.
KF-8-DXS, this is W-8-E-A-P.
Morning, Mike.
KFE-BOT Mobile.
KFA DTI testing.
Testing. NAW. NAWOT.
What you know?
Yeah, it's been kind of a sucky day. Had my meetings this morning, and I guess that was okay, but well, my dog Molly kind of crashed and burned today. She's kind of having a rough go of it.
No, that's no good.
Perked up a little bit tonight. She was walking around and ate a little bit, so I don't know what's going on. I know her days are numbered with her lymphoma, but, you know, she has these bad days and then she's got good days, so I just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I worry about Luke. He's only 3 years old, but he's got his share of troubles. Walking around, you're half blind, half deaf, and limping too. So I don't know what you walked into or stepped on or.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, these are like our kids.
Yep, I know that feeling. Dog, cat, bird, they're all part of the family around here. I worked on crap in the barn for a while. I worked on crap in the repeater shed for a while. Worked on crap in the radio room for a while. Worked on a neighbor's golf cart for a while. I didn't succeed. I didn't succeed in doing anything real good, though.
I drove my Escape today. I don't drive it very much. And there's something wrong with the brakes on it now. I don't know. I was backing out of the driveway, and it's like I stepped on the brake to stop before I backed out into the road, and I had to stand on the brakes to get it to stop, and then it freed up, and then driving forward, it's like you step on the brake and you stop, and it seems like they're just sticking, and then they'll just release over a couple of seconds. So I'm wondering if the pins aren't rusted up or something.
been there, done that. Had to change both the rubber hoses on the front.
I think it might be the hoses, huh? I hadn't thought of that. I thought maybe the pins and the calipers were rusty or something.
You know, I'm not going to lie, it took me a couple weeks to figure out what was going on. When I bought the car, the driver's side brake caliper was sticking. So I took the brake caliper off, I took it out, I disassembled it, I cleaned all the seals on it, I reassembled it, cleaned it all up good, and the damn thing still hung up. And it's like, this doesn't make any sense because I can collapse the caliper with my hand. I said, so I know the piston's not sticking. You know. So I went down and I bought a brand new caliper, $119 or something. I put it on there and it did the same damn thing. And it's like, what the hell? And then the passenger side one started doing it. It's like, this doesn't really make a lot of sense. It's one time I can drive it and it acts perfectly normal. Next time I drive it, it's like I've got a 3-second delay every time I take my foot off the brakes before the car will start rolling. So I told my son, you know, and he said, well, he says, how many miles I got on it? I said, well, it's got 111,000 on it. He says, the brake fluid needs to be changed. So we changed the brake fluid, but only a little dribble would come out on both sides in the front. And I said, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I said, with you standing on it, I said, all I get is a little squirt out of it. I don't get a squirt out of it like you're supposed to. It's just more of a dribble. And I said, let's do something stupid. I said, let's bleed it at the top where it goes into the rubber lines. I bled it up there and oil came out, just tons of it. And I told him, I said, I know what's going on. He said, what's that? I said, the damn hoses are, they're collapsed. Where they crimp them, they put a metal sleeve on them, and they crimp them, and that's where they attach them to the strut to keep them from rubbing on the tire and stuff. Wherever they put that crimp at, it squeezed the rubber hose together on the inside, and it started failing and collapsing and acting like a sticky valve.
I'll be darned. Well, that's a very good possibility. That's probably a little easier than changing the calipers.
What year?
It's a 2012 Escape. It's got about 130,000 miles on it. Trouble with somebody?
I heard that too. I'm not sure. Somebody got some input. Jump on in there. All right. Hand it over to you. Your call sign once.
Hey, WOT.